Good evening, everyone. I'd like to open tonight's February 9th, 2015, regular Oglala City Council meeting. Would you all please rise? Johnson will lead us in a short prayer and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
Father God, we thank you for letting us be here tonight. We ask that you be with us in our decision we're making tonight. You'll give us the wisdom that we need to help this community and the citizens of it. So we can grow and prosper. And we also thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon this city, this council, and this community. Let us be grateful.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Tonight, item on 1.3, roll call. All members of the City Council are here. So we'll move on to item 1.4, citizen input. Is there any citizen here present at tonight's meeting who would like to address the City Council with regard to any issue? If you would, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and you can step to the microphone and state your name and address for the record, and you'll be given up to 5 minutes to address the City Council. Is there any citizen here who would like to give input? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to item 2, the approval of our agenda tonight. This time I entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 3 is on our consent agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve tonight's consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4, current business, 4.1, public hearing on East Cunningham Road annexation and ordinance. At this time, I would like to open the public record at 7:02 p.m. and we are going to hear a staff presentation to the council by our community development director, Travis Goddard. Travis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, my name is Travis Goddard, and I'm the community development director for the city of Othello. The case that we'll be talking about tonight is the Cunningham Road East annexation, and this is a project map of the site. It is approximately from the east end of the Walmart site to Highway 17th, and it is strictly on the north half width right of way for Cunningham Road at this location. The applicable codes in this case is RCW 3513010, which grants the authority for the city to do annexations. This is a direct petition annexation because it was requested by 100% of the property owners within the area to be annexed. And it is consistent with RCW's 3513125 through 170. And there's a specific section about using right-of-way boundaries for corporate boundaries, and that's 3513290. So this request is consistent with all the relevant state RCWs. Public notice has been completed, and the ordinance has been drafted in accordance with 3513140 and its attachment 2 of your packets that were sent to you. And the area that is going to be annexed will be considered commercial 1 zoning, even though there is actually no private property for development in this area. Because it is right of way, it takes on the zoning that's adjacent to and fronting the property, which is to the south. The next step in this case is, if it's passed tonight, the clerk and the mayor will sign the ordinance, and it will be published in the newspaper. A copy of that will be filed with the Adams County Commissioner's Office, and effective 5 days after the publication, if there is no comment or issue raised with the county commissioners. And then the state would be notified of the annexation so that they could make the according map changes and account for that. Normally, it would be with census data, but in this case, since there is no private property, there are no residential units, there is no assessment issues. It's more of an information so they can change their property line. But that is essentially my presentation. Are there any questions?
Council? No, it's pretty straightforward, I think.
At this time, is there anyone present from Adams County who made this application? Okay. I'd like to open public testimony portion of this application for annexation. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to give testimony with regard to this annexation? Okay. Seeing none, then at this time I will close the public testimony portion of this public hearing at 7:06 p.m. And council, do you guys have any further clarification you need? No? All right. This time then, I'd entertain a motion, and the staff recommends that the council adopt the ordinance for annexation. So I would entertain a motion to do so.
You can make that motion.
I will second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Travis. Moving along in our agenda, item 4.2, Police Chief Phil Schenck has a crime-free rental housing program, and he wants to have a discussion with us, and he wants to present some information to the council. So, Chief Schenck, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. In putting together our plan to address criminal street gangs in our community and also the drugs and other similar types of crime, we look at the different tools that we need. In most cases, gang members are renting the homes that they live in. In some cases, you know, they are buying. So currently we have a nuisance ordinance that would cover if they owned it. But I'm also looking at that law to see where we can adjust it to be more effective. What we need is an ordinance like this, and many cities across our state have adopted similar ordinances. I wrote an ordinance very similar to this while I was in Sunnyside, and it was a crime-free rental housing program. With that, we looked at other cities all across the state to find what was working. I actually called those agencies, and I talked to a whole lot of police departments that told me what didn't work. And so when we put this program together, back in 2010 or 2009, we were lucky because we actually got it in before the state preempted the law. And a bunch of landlords got together, went to the state, and convinced the state that all future programs after July, I believe, of 2010 had to be voluntary. So what you have in front of you is a draft of a voluntary crime-free rental housing program. Now, the state did leave it open that if there was criminal behavior at that property, in this case, the way we wrote it, two or more incidents, we can then make the crime for rental housing program mandatory. So I wanted to just walk through some of the reasoning, but we don't know how many rental properties that we have in town. I've had Lois looking at it for the last week or so, and we've identified a whole lot of property managers, and what we're looking at is the water bills. And we're looking to see where our water bill is going to two different locations. Or they filled out the form that moves the water bill from the landlord to the tenant. With that, we'll identify some of them. When we're done, what we'll have in our system is all of the addresses in Sunnyside, or Othello, sorry, that we've identified as crime, as rental properties would be flagged. So when the officer's driving there and he looks down at his computer, he'll see that he's on his way to a rental property. Now, what that tells him, and that's the only place it'll be flagged, that'll let him know that he needs to let the landlord know if there's certain types of crime there. Now, this program has a few things built into it, but what we wanted to do is we wanted to make it very simple. When we first tried this in Sunnyside, we made a few mistakes. One of them was the code enforcement wanted to do code inspections and charge a fee for that. We wanted to charge other fees, but by the time we were done, all the landlords in town were upset with us, and there was no way in the world that was going to happen. So when we did this successfully, we called a couple meetings with the landlords and property managers, and we asked them what their concerns would be and how we could help them rent to better tenants. This program is designed to do exactly that. So it doesn't cost anything. It's free. We want the landlords not to have to pay anything. The application form is so simple that it basically says, you know, what's the property and who's managing it. We don't need to know who the tenant is. We just need to know who to contact when there's misbehavior happening at that property. So one form could take care of 200 units in an apartment complex. We wanted to make it that simple. Now the pieces that we have, and I just summarize a lot of this because it's fairly lengthy. It's voluntary until mandatory. The property is identified to be flagged in our record system so landlords can be notified. We'll have a workshop that we'll offer either twice a year or once a year, and we'd invite all the landlords and property managers to come. We provide, and it would be free, we would provide 2 to 3 hours of training. Our focus would be on gang identification, drug use, drug dealing identification, landlord-tenant law. You know, one of the mistakes that I think many landlords are believing is that it's really hard to kick out a bad tenant. Well, it's not that difficult, but there is a process they have to go through. It shouldn't cost $1,500 in lawyer fees to kick out a bad tenant. Many of the forms that you can use are free. You just need to know where to file them, and then you're paying the court filing fees in the sheriff's office when they actually do kick them out. Now, one of the important things is free public records. Currently, we would have to charge 15 cents a sheet. Well, with this, we would be providing the landlord a free copy of a report anytime there's an incident on his property. But the most important part is we'd be providing free local records checks to the tenants. So when, and one of the issues that landlords have is trying to identify what kind of problem behavior these tenants have. They rely 100% on conviction information. This actually allows us to provide them much more information, but through the tenant. So the tenant, if you come in and you say, I'd like a local record check on myself, there's nothing redacted. We're going to give you everything on you in a sealed envelope. So if the landlord knows to ask for that, the landlord's going to have what he needs to make an educated decision whether or not he wants to rent to this person. Now, the law says that you can't exclude or not rent to somebody based purely on criminal history or criminal convictions. In this case, we're not. We're just helping the landlord have more information. They're still making that choice. The crime-free rental housing program also requires an addendum. So there would be an addendum attached to every lease or rental agreement that basically lists a bunch of crimes and the fact that any violation of these is caused to not live there anymore. And then the final two things are a requirement of a pursuit of remedies. So if we serve that landlord notice that there was misbehavior at that property, the expectation is the landlord's going to deal with it. So that generally means eviction. If it's gang activity at a rental, our hope is that they choose, and we can't demand it, but our hope is that they evict that tenant. We want to make this a place where gang members don't feel free to live. And then the final tool that we have would be a revocation of their license. So if they're a mandatory participant and they aren't doing what they need to do to clean up their property, after 30 days they've taken no action, they've not appealed it, they're just ignoring everything we do, at that point we actually could revoke their license where they can't rent their property anymore. So we would, then that would be a class, I believe, a C5 infraction or something like that is what I was recommending. So I wanted to make enough money that folks would actually care. That'd be the last resort. In fact, in Sunnyside, I only had to use that a couple times. And that was absentee landlords with mobile home parks that didn't want to work with us. In fact, the manager was, we believe, doing drugs, and her family members were renting from her. So I don't know that we have anything like that, and my hope would be we don't, but this would give us the tools that we need to do that. So the next step would be, with council's approval, we have a draft ordinance that's put together. We would take input on that. With council's approval, I would schedule a meeting, put an ad in the newspaper, and invite our property managers and landlords to come, hear what we have to say, take a look at the ordinance, and give us input. If adjustments are necessary, we'd make those adjustments, and then finally bring it back to council for approval. Any questions?
Is it going to be mandatory for the landlord to attend?
If they're one of the mandatories where they've had two violations at their property, then the landlord or the property manager that's the agent of that landlord would actually be required to attend. And that would be if they're in violation. When it's voluntary, we would hope they attend, we'd offer it, we couldn't require it.
So how do we know how many landlords we have in this area? Because I know of some people that are renting their rooms, I mean, right next to their house.
What we generally know when the police officer starts talking to the folks that live in homes, one of the things that we would do for a period would be we would ask, when we respond to a call, we would ask if this is a rental property. And that wasn't that successful for us. The most successful thing that we did in Sunnyside was looking at the water bills.
So are most apartment complexes in Othello licensed rental properties?
They would be under this ordinance. They
right now, today, are they or are they not?
They are not. There is no state law requiring a business license to rent a rental property, unless you have the business and you're managing the business. The business piece of it requires a license. So. And in this case, I've already met with the Housing Authority Director. The Housing Authority has more stringent laws than any of the others. We worked very successfully with them in Sunnyside, and they actually licensed their properties. They managed them very well, just like I believe the property here is managed very well. So there's not a lot of problems on the sites.
So do we already have an ordinance demanding a rental license agreement with the city?
No, sir. That's what this would create.
And it's perfectly legal?
I believe so, but that's...
Well, there's not going to be a fee, you said, right?
We're not charging a fee. The RCW actually allows it, that crime-free rental housing program, as long as it's voluntary, until there's behavior that makes it mandatory. This law was written to fit within the RCW.
I've had an opportunity to review the ordinance as drafted, and right now, as I've told the chief, I don't see an issue with the ordinance as it's drafted right now. I don't.
I'm just kind of wondering, you know, the landlords out there, people that own duplexes and stuff that have been handed down, there won't be any fine or fee attached to the license if you don't get one?
No, sir. The way this is written, if there is violations of the property, they have two or more criminal acts happen at the property that qualify, so drug dealing, gang activity, stuff like that, we would serve them notice each time. On the second or following incident, we will actually serve them notice that it's now mandatory that they participate and license if they have not. If they fail to license at that point, they will receive a fine.
Okay. I think it would be better to sell it to them as a protection for them.
Yep. And it is.
And it voluntarily let them sign up for it for their own protection.
Yes, sir.
Because it'd be much easier for you to evict somebody or get them out of the premises if the cops are responding and you've got a license agreement with the city of LaBella?
What we found with a lot of the property managers is when we serve them notice that they've got tenants that are in violation, that actually gives them what they need to serve the eviction papers or to support the eviction papers to get those folks out.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this ordinance too, because it goes on further, because you're offering workshops to the landlords on training them on the contract, the Landlord-Tenant Act, evictions, and criminal activity. And you're offering to train them first on this stuff, and I think a lot of them out there care about their properties, and that's a big selling point of it.
But it's also got the teeth to deal with the ones that don't care.
Yeah, just don't want them to feel something's being pushed down from government to them.
That's why I'm suggesting we have a meeting with them, is because I want to explain that to them.
Okay.
This is designed to help the landlords. In a community like Othello, where rental properties are very hard to find, they kick out a bad tenant, they're going to fill it with a good tenant.
So how do you anticipate this process is going to work between now and the final adoption of the, what steps are we going to take to bring this to fruition?
I'll put a notice on our Facebook page and the city's Facebook page. I'll put a notice in the newspaper. We'll hold a discussion and invite landlords and property managers and anybody else that wants to come to it. We'll take their input, answer their questions, hopefully sell the idea. And
at the March workshop?
I wasn't suggesting a council workshop. I would have the workshop.
Okay.
So the council doesn't have to be involved in that. And then we would take that input and then adjust the ordinance, run it through legal, and then get it back to council for approval.
Very good. Council, do you have any comments or questions?
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good tool.
We like it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 4.3, resolution adjusting certain park and recreation fees. Molly has a presentation. We had some clarification on wording that I think has been updated.
Yes, we did. Good evening, Mayor and Council. The Council may remember at the January 26th Council meeting, I presented a proposed changes to some of our Parks and Recreation fees, including our pool passes, our pool rental fees, and our park shelter rental fees. And those were amended to include resident and non-resident fees, which the city has not done before. And at the request of council, we took the resolution and specified what a resident and non-resident is considered in reference to the Othello Community Pool, because the Othello Community Pool was built with a bond, or built by a bond from the Adams County Parks and Recreation District Number 1. So the council requested that the citizens residing within the boundary of the Adams County Parks and Recreation District Number 1 be considered residents. And so we have now changed the resolution to reflect that definition. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions the council may have.
Other than that, Molly, everything else remained the same, the fee schedule on the resolution and everything else, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to say this if I can.
Let's clarify.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, let's clarify. This is just for...
This is just for the fees that are listed on the page, or on the resolution. So that would be... there are no changes to the entrance fees.
Spencer, will you pull that up, please?
They apply to the Othello season passes, Othello pool rental fees, and our park shelter rental fees.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with, like, the Little League or swim team or nothing like that?
No.
Okay. Basically, all the passes.
I'll wait then.
Yeah, all the passes, all the resident passes, all the resident fees, it's all staying the same. The only thing is we're going to increase it a little bit for out of town or out of the resident area.
Okay.
We did, however, increase the fee to rent the pool. We increased it by $10 per hour to $150 per hour, and that is to cover the cost of the staffing with the increased minimum wage.
So then that would affect the swim team and the...
No, they don't get charged the standard rental rate. It's a separate agreement rate.
Yeah, they have a separate contract.
So are we going to address those at another time?
We will, yes.
All right, thank you. But for tonight, this is the fee schedule for the different park shelters, pool, season passes and entrance fees, and renting of the swimming pool for private parties.
Correct. And this doesn't take into account all of the fees within the city. There are also our field rental fees and whatnot. We have covered these as the Parks and Recreation Committee has gone over them, and we will update them as we go about.
Okay. Council?
Yeah, I'd like to say something on this. My opinion, the city pool should be the same as the parks. I understand that the pool was paid for with the Parks and Recreation bond, but over the last 5 years, we were an average of $123,500 in the red that the city is paying for, city residents are paying for. It's not coming out of that park bond. It's not coming from the people that's in the park district. It's coming from the city. This year, we had a $46,000 repair that was paid for by city residents. And we're also paying $10,000 a year back towards that Parks and Rec bond. I believe that fee should be everybody outside the city limits.
And then, to clarify what you're saying, Corey, the fee is only for those outside, but not...
I believe that fee should be raised to everybody outside city limits, not outside of the parks and the parks district.
I believe the parks district boundaries are the same as the school district.
Correct.
Correct. So we're basically only giving the resident fee to anybody that's within the school district boundaries. So it's Othello and just a little bit outside.
And that doesn't, the parks district boundary, when I talked to the auditor today, she said that doesn't include any of the boundary that's within another county. It's only Adams County mm-hmm. and the school district boundaries. So anything that overlaps is not included.
You know, the other thing is, nobody's going to know what park district they live in. People outside the city are not going to know if they live inside our park district or not. So how are we going to keep track of that?
Thank you.
When I talked to the auditor, she said the parks districts are generally, they're by where the school district is. So if there's a park district in, the park district in Lynn, which I believe is park district number 3, is basically the Lynn school district boundary. So park district number 1 is Othello school district boundary. So it's depending on where there's a school district.
That's the answer to that, but I still believe that the city residents are paying all these extra fees for that, or all the extra taxes to cover the everything else. I think it should be everybody outside city limits should be paying the extra.
Okay.
That's all I
have to say on it. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say? Okay. Well, we have a motion. We have an agenda item before us that I would entertain a motion, a resolution to adjust these fees. If you're for it, you can vote for it. If you're against it, you can vote against it. So, at this time, I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion with regard to this resolution? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the Othello City Council? Previous.
What did you decide on dates? for that planning session?
For the retreat?
March.
Everybody's here right now, so what is it?
March.
It's March 5th, so.
Where's your calendar? March 2nd.
First Monday in March.
Oh, no, Thursday.
March.
No, it's Thursday.
Thursday.
Or did we go with the workshop? We did.
March 2nd.
March 2nd. The workshop.
5:30 to 8.
5:30 to 8. Yes. Any other unfinished business? Okay, any new business? Is there any business that the city council would like to have staff research and be prepared for our next council meeting? All right, with that, we'll move to item 7, exec 7.1, potential litigation. Council will now adjourn at 7:31 PM to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.1101I to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in adverse legal or financial consequences to the agency. The executive session is expected to last, Kelly, how many minutes?
Oh, I'd say maybe up to 30 minutes.
Okay, up to 30 minutes. No action will be taken during this executive session. With that, I would like to have staff prepare the council for this executive session. And I'd like Becky to remain and Kelly and Wade, of course. All right, we come back into session at 8:19 PM. And having concluded our executive session with no action to be taken, we'll move on to item, council item number 8.1, department heads' reports, which the council will receive. And having no further business to conduct tonight, we will close our meeting at 8:19 PM.